It's the 100th anniversary of Fatima. It's Saturday night. My guest is Peter Lavenda, and he's helping me man the phones, and we'll get right back to it right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our guest tonight is Peter Lavenda, and he's helping me man the phones on this 100th anniversary of Fatima. So with that, let's go to the wild card line. Let's go to Kathy in Post Falls, Idaho. Kathy, you're up next on Coast.
Well, hi. Hi, greetings this evening. And a very fascinating show, and I commend you for having this on tonight, you know. For a long time, was a traditional Catholic, and part of that is there's a priest who is called the Fatima priest, Father Nicholas Gruner. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not, but he only passed away about 2 years ago, and for 40 years, he proclaimed the Fatima story, and basically, he was always pushing for what Our Lady apparently asked of the three children, which was that she showed them hell, where the souls of, she said, the poor sinners go, and to save them, God wants to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. And this is right from the Fatima Crusader, which was the vehicle of the publication of the Fatima Center out of New York, where Father Nicholas Gruner was for so many years. Anyway, she said, if what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. The war is going to end. But if people do not cease offending God, a worse one will break out during the reign of Pius the 11th. Then she goes on to say, to prevent this, I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart.
Right.
And the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. If my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars, persecutions of the church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she will be converted. That means Russia.
Yeah,
and
Kathy,
peace will be granted.
Yeah, Kathy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to jump in and say that what the children didn't know about Peter was the 1917 revolution, Stalin coming into power, and the repression of religion that followed after that in Russia, which was the exact opposite of what the secret and prophecy was all about, right?
Well, the children didn't know.
The children didn't know, right, right.
It hadn't happened yet. I mean, the Russian Revolution wouldn't happen until after October 13th, right, in November. So, I mean, it was leading up to that. There was all sorts of turmoil in Russia, obviously leading up to the Russian Revolution, but they didn't know that. They didn't have a clue about that. They didn't know what Russia was when they first heard the word. So this was information they were getting somehow and was being, you know, transmitted somehow by the children to the church and from the church to the people through several different intermediaries. So, yeah, all of that is fine, but we're at a stage now where it's done, right? Communism has gone out of
Russia. Yeah, that's the trippy part about all of this. It went full circle. Yes. Yeah. It went full circle. Obviously, they didn't have any idea about what was about to happen in Russia. It did. The church was suppressed all the way through 1990. Communism ended. The wall came down. The church came back. And it has indeed gone full circle. Is that the prophecy coming to pass or not?
Well, it would seem if our understanding of the third prophecy and our understanding of what the Lady of Fatima was telling the children all this time, it was always focused on Russia.
Right.
Then we have to assume the third prophecy must be intimately connected with Russia, the third secret, right? Which is the assassination of a pope and all of these other people and this, all of this bloodshed. If so, then it's been inverted. Russia is no longer a communist country. in fact, just the opposite. It's now a very, you know, Russian Orthodox country. It's a very religious country from that perspective. We can go into that. It's a whole other show.
It is. It is. And very capitalistic, I might add.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You know, we can talk about Russian philosophy and Alexander Dugin and all this other stuff that's been going around, you know, and sort of a rise of neo-paganism as well in Russia. But at the moment, what we have is, you know, a Russian Orthodox country, a very nationalistic one, actually, right, and very pro-Orthodox. So in that case, Fatima is over, right? If you look at it from that point of view, okay, we're done here.
Yeah, it's very interesting, very, very interesting. Let's go to the wild card. Let's go way out east to Bill in West Hartford. Bill, you're up next.
Yes, hi, Jimmy. Yes, hi. Hi, Peter. I'm an atheist myself, and a scientific-minded atheist, and I have a thought regarding Fatima, Fatima and UFOs and religion. I think you're wrong, Jimmy, when you equated UFOs with religion as if it's the same thing. I think it all goes back to UFOs and aliens. I'll explain. What you would call religious or spiritual really goes back to the aliens, and I would call it not religious, not spiritual, but interdimensional. In fact, a better term, interuniversal or intercosmos. Let me explain. This goes back to a show that George Norrie did in February about the theory that our universe is a computer simulation with Linda Moulton Howe. Mm-hmm. My point is, could the aliens, these aliens and UFO craft, all come from outside our universe, from another realm, another dimension, an energy dimension or an energy universe, in other words, another universe through which they are going by our linear time. Let's say they're scientifically 100 million years or more advanced than us scientifically, and they, through an immense computer simulation, immense computer that they would have, or many computers, created our universe through a computer simulation, and they are popping in from what you might call the other side. I would call the real reality, and this would be the same place or realm where when people have near-death experiences or when people die, we end up in the real reality, because our consciousness, our mind, I think, is the only thing in this simulated universe that is real. And that is why quantum mechanics says, and is correct when it says, that things that are observed through our eyes and our mind, there's an effect, in other words, between the observer and the observed. So our consciousness in this, on planet Earth or any other planet in our whole universe, any other galaxy, any other planet, is in our simulated universe. But our consciousness, once we die, we're in the real reality, which George Norrie calls the other side. And as I said, these aliens are beings that created our whole universe through a computer simulation, and even our religions is part of what has been created through the computer simulation. Religion and myth are the same thing. They're myths. We have to look at science and the scientific method.
So, Bill, I get all of that. So let me ask you this. Yes. Are you suggesting that Fatima was just a computer simulation, that it was just something that was created and that's it?
I'm saying even more than that, Fatima is just sort of weird and hard to understand, just like modern day 1980s, 1990s, 21st century UFO experiences are kind of hard, like the one in Africa in the early 1990s that was on the show Sightings, where a spacecraft came down and talked to a set of 50 or 100 children, I think it was Nigeria, and told them that they had to be great with the environment, environmental disasters in the future. That's very analogous to what happened at Fatima with these three children then. So I'm saying it all goes back to alien beings that created our universe through a computer simulation, and they're popping into our universe to tinker with the simulation, to tinker with a universe that they created.
Yeah, Bill, I think it's an honest and great point. And Peter, when we start to look at it like that, not only with Fatima, but there are several sightings and witnesses where they have confronted and communicated with different visions. Could it just be that something that was created by something advanced and off planet just to communicate with us, like a TV, like a hologram?
Yeah, I mean, it, of course, the realm of possibility, all of these things are possible. I think the point we were making, for instance, in Secret Machines and in that project, was that religion came about as a reaction to contact. You know, this was our way of trying to struggle and understand what had just happened, what this actually meant. Religion began in civilizations where there was no demarcation between religion and science or religion and anything else. I mean, nobody said, you know, if you lived in ancient Egypt, I belong to the Egyptian religion, you know.
Right.
It just didn't work that way.
Right,
you weren't Egyptian,
right.
Therefore we made certain assumptions, right? So you have a worldview, an entire worldview, which was created, you know, developed in response to this contact. And that's why I agree with the caller from the point of view that the scientific approach to religion should include the idea of contact, because that would pretty much explain everything. All the problems that atheists have with religion would be kind of cleared up if they were to realize that there is a scientific basis for it, and it was in contact, that, you know, that's the scientific basis for it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question, is there, Peter, that the Vatican knows more about not only the question of contact and what is going on out there with alien life, but they're not telling us. And that certainly would confuse, you know, one of the biggest corporations in the world, right, which is the Catholic right. Church. Let's go to Wild Card, Lenny McKinleyville, California. Lenny, you're up next.
Like the president, yeah. Oh, boy. I wanted to tell this story when George is on, because it involves him. But I had a vision of the Virgin Mary.
Lenny.
Yeah.
You had a vision that involved the Virgin Mary and George Norrie?
Well, George Norrie is a coincidence, because after the vision happened, I turned on Coast to Coast.
Oh, okay, that's a bit different. Okay, I thought this call was about to go in a whole nother direction.
No.
Okay, no. All right.
Okay, let me tell you the story. I encourage my children to write down their dreams. I've been writing down my dreams since I was, like in 1980. And my son came to me with this dream that he had of an orb that was following me around, you know. And he said that this orb was trying to possess me, you know. So I thought about this dream about 3 weeks later. I laid down on my bed, and I said a prayer for protection. And right after, I thank you, good Lord, for protecting me from this orb that my son told me about. And I had no longer said amen, and then the house made a loud settling sound, and my ceiling became the sky, and flying down towards me was this nun, and I could tell she was a nun because she had that white forehead cloth, and she was dressed in a dark gray robe. And then, you know, I saw three cherubs surrounding her, one to her left, one to her right, and one above her. And at that moment, I knew that that was the Virgin Mary. You know, she had come in answer to my prayer. Maybe God sent her or whatever. But something swooshed out of my house, you know, and chased it away. So it only took a minute or so. And it happened on March 10th, 2011. And when I turned on my clock radio, the time showed 11:47 p.m. And George is talking excitedly about a devastating incident that had happened. And he feared that many people were dead. And he kept going on and on. And I'm talking to my radio. Well, what happened? What happened? And he never said. He goes to commercial at midnight and then comes back. That was the exact moment when the Japan earthquake happened.
Wow. That's a really, really good story, Lenny. And when Peter, I want to throw this over to you, Lenny. Thank you for the phone call, Peter. When you hear something like that, what do you make of it? I mean, it's the timing is certainly strange, right?
Well, yeah, and it's consistent with other reports of similar cases and similar phenomena, except in the case of your caller, this was, you know, a very beneficent, you know, image, a visitation by basically the Virgin Mother and cherubs. But I was thinking automatically, though, as he was talking about that, I mentioned George talking about this disaster, and and then it turns out to be the earthquake, I was thinking, my mind immediately went to the Mothman prophecies, you know, and Point Pleasant, Virginia, and people seeing the Mothman
right.
as a visitation, and then a disaster happening, which is the collapse of the bridge at Point Pleasant. You know, John Keel made that famous. So, you know, you get these visitations, and sometimes they're angelic, and sometimes they're not so angelic, but the result is the same. This visitation, and people start to see, they start to sense it, and then something happens.
Is part of it possibly forced or asked for? You know, you want this to happen. You want this prophecy to come true. You want to have this vision, and suddenly you are able to manifest this. And maybe it's not necessarily a religious thing or even an ET thing for that matter, that possibly you're forcing this to manifest itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's an element of will and consciousness and conscious intent behind it sometimes, except that we have the case of the three kids at Fatima, and you can't say that about them, right? They just sort of wandered into it. There is something I wanted to point out since you were talking about paranormal things, and it's on the same subject. Children were often considered the best mediums to use by magicians in various cultures and various times,
especially
if they had not reached puberty yet. So there was this idea, if they were, you know, very young, that they could actually see what we could not see once we became adults. Our body chemistry changed, especially with the onset of puberty. Something happened to our chemistry biologically. Hormones are released and all the rest of it. But in children, that hasn't happened yet. And therefore, children can see better than adults can. And there are instances in the workbooks of the magicians of the European Middle Ages and that whole literature where children are specifically mentioned to be used to see during the ritual when the magician can't. You know, they're better at becoming mediums, I suppose you would say. And also, we find children who have reached puberty being associated with poltergeist activity, right? That's become kind of a thing. People at around, you know, 13, 14 years old, around that time, the poltergeist activity will happen in a house where you have someone of that age living there. They think there may be some sort of weird chemical or electromagnetic thing that's happening that we don't quite understand yet.
Yeah, well,
so all of these, taken in consideration, you know, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. And when you have these children going back on these dates, right, on the 13th of the month, you know, they could be forcing it to happen all the way up to October 13th, 5 months later, six visits later, where now you've got a crowd of 60, 70,000 people focusing on this and hoping for a miracle, and then boom, it happens. Maybe it was manifested. This is Coast to Coast. It's the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Our guest is Peter Lavenda, and he's helping me man the phones. More of your phone calls next. Yeah, welcome back. And you know what's funny? Here in the studio, in the Coast studio, everybody here got to listen to me sing like Chris Isaac. I nailed it. You know, most people don't know I had that kind of voice. Residents of an Indonesian island were aghast when this massive, gnarly carcass of a sea creature just washed up on their shores. It's this big, gnarly blob, which was believed to measure over 50 feet long. And you have to see it because the two people in the video standing next to it are completely dwarfed by this thing. You've got to go check out the video right now. You can check out the entire video over at coasttocoastam.com. That's it. It's open lines. My guest tonight is Peter Lavenda, the 100th anniversary of Fatima. I've got a full rack of phones in front of me, but I do want to say it's now past midnight, so happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, manning the phones with me, the one and only Peter Lavenda. Peter, just got this tweet in from Dan, and he says, how much clearer can it be? ET visitation twisted by the church to suit their own religious and political purposes. Maybe spot on the money right there.
Well, yeah, it can be. That's what we've been saying, sort of. It was really the prime example as to how to manage something like that for political or religious ends, you know, which in those days, religion and politics were pretty much the same. You know, I mean, you had the Soviet Union, and suddenly you had the Russian Revolution, which was, you know, a political system which was dead set, it was anti-religion, you know, specifically and aggressively anti-religion. So suddenly religion and politics became the same thing. If you were religious, then you had to be anti-communist. There was almost no way around it. So when you have something like this visitation, it could be weaponized, as I say, exactly for those types of uses. And it was the poster child for that, if that, in fact, is what happened. Because then later sightings could be done the same way. It could be manipulated for political reasons, religious reasons, or anything else.
Let's go to the wild card line. Virginia Marie, right here, San Francisco, California. Virginia, you're up next.
Hey, hi there. Been hanging on for a while and happy to be on the show. Yes, I was named after the Virgin Mary, Virginia Marie, and quite a moniker to try and live up to, as you can imagine. But I grew into a very big devotion to the Virgin Mary, but I personally consider the Virgin Mary actually the spirit of the earth, Mother Earth, Gaia.
Gaia, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I, that's my feeling about who the Virgin Mary really is. And, you know, Isis, I mean, she's been throughout history revered, but by different names. And what I wanted to ask Peter about is if he knows about Maria Paula Acuna, who is a woman who has been visited by the Virgin Mary every 13th of the month for about 20 years in California City. And I went down, I learned about her on a television show, I can't remember the name, but because of that I thought, wow, here we have, you know, Virgin Mary appearing every 13th of the month, and people don't know about it. And I went and had some very metaphysical experiences there. This was 20 years, I went before 2000, and it's right in the middle of the desert. I mean, there's nothing.
Yeah, California City. Yeah, I've heard about her I've lived in California in Los Angeles for 30 years now, over 30 years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've heard, but Peter, what do you think about her story?
Well, you know, like your caller says, you know, she's had, you know, sort of paranormal experiences around her. She could be channeling something, you know, very important. Or she could be, you know, she's obviously, from what I've heard, and I've only heard, you know, a few reports that she's very religious and she's very meditative, you know, and she's that kind of person who's kept herself in an intense sort of spiritual state for a very long time.
Well, you know what? Check this out. We have on the international line, I want to get this call in from Donato in Milan, Italy. Donato, welcome to Coast, all the way from Italy. How are you?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have numerous points I'd like to make, so I'll try to go through them as quickly as possible. But I'm calling from the traditional Catholic perspective, which I feel has unfortunately been neglected. And quite frankly, without trying to, you know, ridicule the previous caller, I mean, her assertion of the Virgin Mary being Mother Gaia is completely and utterly satanic. And for Peter, for you to be even suggesting that, you know, the UFO possibility, when the Catholic Church has, well, let me repeat this, the true Catholic Church condemns the idea of any other life forms. Now the modern quote-unquote Catholic Church, which is the core essence of why I'm calling, is what we're saying is what the actual third seeker is about.
Donato, let me jump in. I gotta jump in right there. The Vatican has their own observatories and has already said that there has to be life out there. And if there is life, then they should be, I think the word was, baptized.
Okay. Well,
so for you to say that,
Catholics didn't know. But here's what I'm trying to say, though: the greatest conspiracy of the 20th century is what happened at the Second Vatican Council, when a new counterfeit religion, as predicted by Jesus Christ himself, would take place in the final days, has taken over the Vatican. The Vatican is not Catholic. That is extremely important for you to understand. Any traditional Catholics listening who are probably trying to call in, this is very, very important. You have to understand that from John the 23rd, who suppressed the third secret, by the way, never allowed to be revealed because it had to do with the Second Vatican Council, which was a counterfeit satanic council which created a new religion that is not Catholic. Today, the conspiracy that has taken place in the 20th century, which is the greatest conspiracy, quite frankly, of all time, is that today, when you enter into a quote-unquote Catholic church, it is not the Catholic religion. It is a New Age, quasi ecumenical satanic religion.
Okay, all right. Donato, don't yell. Don't yell, man. Relax. Peter, you know, you've been... I don't want to go through your history in New York City with the church, but certainly you have as much experience in all of this as anyone. Did any of the secrets or prophecies speak about what Donato was bringing up here?
Okay, Donato is speaking from, if I may be so bold as to suggest it, from the point of view of what we know as a sede vacantist. Sede vacantist means empty chair. They believe that since the Second Vatican Council, there's been no legitimate pope running the church, and the church has become illegitimate.
Right.
So he's not presenting the mainstream Catholic point of view right now. He's representing that group of a splinter group that broke off and says the church is no longer the church. I understand where he's coming from. You know, I've known a lot of people in that position. So what he's talking about is really a conspiracy. He believes that John the 23rd was sort of responsible for destroying the Catholic Church, basically, and there's been no real pope in charge since that time. The chair is empty. The chair of the throne of St. Peter is empty.
Right.
Vacantis,
right.
Chair. So that gives rise to a whole bunch of other conspiracy theories, including the theory that the third secret of Fatima has been withheld or doctored or something by the post-Vatican II church. So that's one of the, that itself is a conspiracy theory, right? So that's their theory. My point of view is it doesn't have to have been, you don't have to believe in the that particular brand of Roman Catholicism to think that maybe something was doctored with the third secret. I think you can take the third secret and, you know, and say the current church manipulated it, or just as easily as, you know, the other church could have manipulated it. I mean, whatever version of the Catholic Church you're talking about doesn't mean that any one of them has given us the whole truth on what the third secret is, or the correct interpretation of it, for that matter.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And like I keep trying to drive this home, it's so easy to tie in these secrets and these prophecies to your own agenda. And to your own paradigm. It's very easy because they are general and open-ended. And I could tie it into a few things myself that would have nothing to do with the church. Let's go to the first time caller's line. Let's go to Mike in Canby, Oregon. Mike, you're up next on Coast.
How are you guys doing? Say, the thing, my main complaint of this conversation is the simple fact that when your guest was saying that whoever got a hold of it first manipulated it to however they want it. But the Catholic Church does not, if it gets a hold of something, it allows everything else to run its course before it really even investigates it as a miracle or something of this nature. And I'm sure he knows that, being a Catholic.
Well, didn't we already mentioned that like three or four times on the show tonight, Mike?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. All I saw was him, or heard him saying, was the simple fact that he was that whoever got a hold of it first, whether it would be political or whatever, runs with it however they want. But the Catholic Church just doesn't run with it. The Catholic Church has to investigate this, and it took a considerable length of time. And another thing was the children during this time when there were 70,000 witnesses to this were being tested. They were poked with pins. They were prodded, and they did not come out of their trance. It's not like this was just a hoax. And I'm bringing that up because a lot of people say, oh, it was just a big hoax. But no, those children were – you show me a 7-year-old kid that's going to get poked with a pin and is not going to react.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that. Thank you for the phone call, Mike. Were they actually poked with pins, Peter?
This is the first time I'm hearing that.
Yeah,
of what happened. don't know. But I think to his other point, we're talking about 1917 in a very charged atmosphere where the church was being actually persecuted in Portugal and suppressed.
Right.
I think that generally speaking, what he says is true when it comes, especially in the modern era, something happens, you know, something that could be a miracle. The church kind of takes a very long view and they wait and they see, you know, what evidence is produced and who does what. But 70,000 people watching the sun spin around forced the church to make some decisions, right? Especially under the circumstances where the church was being suppressed actively in that country. And here was an opportunity for them to kind of carve out some safe space for themselves, you know, and to use this for their own advantage. The church is also very political. And in those days, the church found themselves possibly losing everything, with Portugal and Spain both suppressing the church, Mexico doing the same thing at the same time, and then Russia. It looked like the church was under complete siege. So I think that, you know, the normal course of events might have been suspended in the case of Fatima.
Let's go to, I'm excited about this phone call. When I say west, we're going west and way north to David in Fairbanks, Alaska. David, you're up next.
Well, hi, and thank you for taking my call. And I think this is a great conversation. I'll make it real quick. I have a comment and I think a question. It's kind of two questions, but a comment and a question. I'll make it quick, I promise. First, I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mother, Terry Juergens, who's in North Pole, Alaska, who loves this show and listens every night. So happy Mother's Day, Mom. Love you. All right. So here's my first, I want to make a comment. I am a Roman Catholic who's Vatican II, who was taught by the Sede Vacantist Catholic Church, okay? I want to make that clear. In Spokane, by the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen. They also have a house in Idaho, who one of your callers, I believe, may have been a part of at one time, who says at one time she was traditionalist. So I'll go into that in just a moment. But about Sister Lucia, my comment about her and her not speaking out is I want to remind the listeners and you both also that she became a Carmelite nun, and a Carmelite who were an ancient order, who were founded in the Discalced Order, which Lucia was a part of in the 1500s, before Vatican II. I mean, they wouldn't talk to anybody, no matter who they were, and they wrote their families like once a year, so they were strictly contemplative and cloistered, and that's who Sister Lucia and her community, that's who she belonged to, and therefore, in my opinion, that explains the lack of communication. Now, after Vatican II happened in the 1960s, when the church split between the traditionals and the modern church, there were a lot of the traditionalists hid behind the message of Fatima because of the conspiracy theory. So was there advice given to her to remain silent and out of the mainstream conversation of Fatima? Possibly, only because there was such a huge controversy with the Lefebvre, the Pius X, and the Sede Vacantist movement at that time became very political. So anyway,
well, David, and thank you for that, by the way, but we're going to hit a break here, and I want Peter to have the opportunity to answer your question. So what was the question, really quick?
Yeah, my question is, first of all, please look into that the traditionalist movement and the modern movement of Vatican II and the theory as has Russia been consecrated Immaculate Heart? And also with that, has your guest investigated the message of divine mercy during World War II given to Sister Faustina Kowalska and how that intertwines with Fatima and Pope John Paul II and Maximilian Kolbe, because it kind of intertwines with that. So I think it's important that you look into that as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much, David. Peter, have you looked into that right after World War II?
Yeah, the whole thing with Kolbe and Sister Faustina and everything else, it is ancillary to this entire process, right? So the whole Fatima thing and then the Faustina visions, she had her own visions, and then Kolbe, Maximilian Kolbe, I think his name is, wrote about all of this as well. This is really would take us very far afield, and we would lose a lot of time if we sat down and discussed this now because it's very complex. But suffice it to say that it runs sort of parallel to the Fatima visions as well, and it was a message, like the caller said, World War II era message, roughly along the same lines, and predicting that there would be some serious divisions within the church as well. And I think that's what he's referring to, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, I want to thank you. Really quick, I got to get a couple of points, and we didn't get a chance to, and I was thinking that we might. I wanted to get a chance to talk about your new book with Tom DeLonge just a little bit, and when we could expect the next book that is coming out and what you're up to. But also, I'm hoping that you're going to be able to get out to California this week, too, as well. So I want to say this. If there is an announcement about you coming out to California, would that be, are you going to make that announcement on Facebook, on Twitter? Is that going to be on your website? And if you do make it out, what will you be doing? Or do you even know? See, this is kind of a surprise announcement on everybody. We found out about this right before the show tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do it. I've been talking to the people who are involved, so I'm going to try to show up for that. And I know that people want me to talk about secret machines. There's going to be no way around it. No matter what I decide to talk about, it's going to turn around to secret machines and the Tom DeLonge book. So I'm going to try to do something along those lines and make some kind of presentation on the first book and talk about what I'm able to talk about at this time.
So I guess what I'm telling everybody is Peter might make it out here for Contact in the Desert this week. And so he will make that announcement, and I will certainly assist him with that, too, as well. And we'll get everything out there on social media in the next 24 hours if we can pull that off. In the meantime, Peter, you are the very best, and you are in the Connecting the Dots Hall of Fame. Thank you so much, my friend. I really look forward to seeing you, hopefully, later on this week. This is CoastToCoastAM.com, the one and only Peter Lavenda, the 100th anniversary of Fatima, as only Peter could do it. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back.